Our Bible reading comes from 1 Colossians 3, verses 1 to 17. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these things put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thank you, Rob. I wonder if the musos have got my clicker, because I will need that. So I wonder if someone could just help me with that. And may I, as we're waiting, just say good morning and welcome to one and all. Thanks, Sean. Do appreciate that. And there it was. It was my fault, not the musos' fault. Dear friends, I'd like you, as we begin this wonderful morning, to think about a lovely scene. A very, very wonderful scene. Well, this is what it is for me. This is what I picture when I think of a lovely scene. There's a man on the beach looking out at the waves to come. And I think that's great. Now you may have another one, but what I want you to see is in our next slide what's so different. All of a sudden, we've got a snowman on the beach. And why do I have that there? Only to make one point, and especially for the boys and girls to pick this up, that Christians are different. They may not look different, they may not dress different, but they are different. Why is that? And what does that look like? Well, that's what these opening verses of what we read this morning are so important, because they actually put that all together in one lovely package. And that's our focus for today, verses 1 to 4 of Colossians chapter 3. Let's just run through it again. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now these verses are like a bridge. Before them has come chapters 1 and 2, where Paul has outlined, he's welcomed the church and spoken about the issue that the Colossians were facing, false teaching and so on. And in the chapters that follow, 3 and 4, he actually opens up all of this. So we're standing on the bridge. And what we have here is actually a bird's eye view of the Christian life. It's a wonderful summary of the Christian life. And the most amazing thing is, at least I think it's amazing and many others do too, the most amazing thing in the universe is that it tells us a Christian is a person who has been raised with Christ and has died with him. We could put that around the other way. A Christian is joined to Jesus. He joined him in his death on the cross and into the grave, and he joined him in the new life that he had when he rose from the dead. And that makes a Christian different. They didn't earn it. None of us have deserved it. But God in his grace has opened that to us. He has opened up a whole new life. And this truth of being joined to Jesus is really the foundation on which these four verses sit. Now what we're going to do is just have a look at what that looks like, because they clearly make the point that Christians are different, just like a snowman on the beach. The first thing we see here is a Christian has a heavenly focus. Set your hearts, he says, on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Now, I want you for a moment to imagine the conversation. You're at a party, you're with some friends, perhaps, you're somewhere, and one person says, "You're straight, I'm gay, what does it matter? Love is love." You're at another party with some other people. One guy says, "Oh, you're a Christian, I'm an atheist. And my best friend's a Buddhist. It's just the way it is. But please don't tell me that your way is the only way." Now, why those big differences? Why? Because the people in each case look at life through a different set of glasses. They have a different mindset. They have a different focus. And if your focus, and really there are only two options, as the text says, it's either on earth or it's up in heaven. Now, if it's on earth, people tend to think that there is no God and there is no gospel. This world is all there is. This life is all there is. And their life shows that. Now, other people are more spiritual. They tend to think that there's more to this world than the stuff that you can touch and see and taste. They know that there's something beyond it. They just don't know what it is. And they go on the spiritual search for that. But sadly, they look in the wrong place and they look the wrong way. But the Christian is different. His focus is not on the things of this world. His focus is above, in heaven, where Christ is. He has a heavenly focus. The Christian knows that this world and everything in it is passing away. And that's why he doesn't place his eternal hope in it. He knows that this life is not all there is. There is an eternity beyond this life that here in this world we must prepare for. The Christian knows that the Bible is not just an old book. It's God's word and its truth. And the Christian not just knows about, but has experienced the grace of God in his or her life. And that grace gets to work and changes us. And so the Christian is different. It's not so much that he's like the Christian with all non-Christian with the bad bits taken out. No, he's infused by the grace of God. He's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he wants to think like Jesus and live like Jesus and love like Jesus and so on. And please don't think, just because he's heavenly minded, that he's of no earthly use. It's quite the opposite. He loves God with all his heart. And because he does, he wants to love his neighbor. And if you remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, where Jesus outlined the point of that parable, it's very much about being in those places of need, helping the poor, working for justice, and also, of course, being active in the church, that we might be light in the darkness and salt in a decaying society. And please, as we notice that, let's also notice this is not passive. You have to work at this. It doesn't just happen. It is the grace of God infusing us. It is the Holy Spirit working through us so we become the mouth and the hands and the feet of Jesus into a broken world. Literally, this verse is translated, keep on seeking the things above. It's an ongoing action. So we don't just, it's like us with eating. We don't just have one meal. We have another. And tomorrow we'll eat again. We keep on eating. And that's what this is. We keep on seeking. We set our hearts on the things above today and tomorrow and this time next year, because that's where hope and glory are. John Piper says, pursue these things. Seize them. Dig into them. Treasure them. Love God with all your heart and live for Him with all your got. And that's the encouragement, because we have a Saviour who's walked the path first. He's shown us the way. We know that He lived in a world just like ours, and how He suffered, was crucified, and died. He experienced the horror and the agony and the forsakenness of the cross. But beyond it was something greater. And Hebrews 12 says, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. He scorned its shame, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that Saviour is now saying to each of you, I've paved the way. I've blazed the trail to safety. Follow me. Lift your head. Lift your heart. Have this heavenly focus. Because you see, congregation, we live in a world that's exactly the opposite. Yes, there are many blessings to enjoy, but it's also a world of rebellion against God. It's a world of so much tragic confusion about spiritual choices. And I want to ask you, what are the things that capture your heart? Where's your focus? Is it here in the things below that will ultimately pass away? Or is it in glory where Christ is? You see, the Christian has a heavenly focus. That's what makes him different. But there's something else here. Paul goes on to speak of a hiddenness about that. He said, you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, what's this about? Well, let me just ask. Can you pick a Muslim woman in a crowd? Most times you can, because most Muslim women are covered and it's just an absolute giveaway. But can you pick a Christian in a crowd? And the short answer is no, because there's something about the Christian that's hidden. And to help us grasp this, I want us to think of a flower. Let's imagine a rose, a beautiful rose. And we see this rose with its wonderful petals, and we even see the stem. And we marvel at the beauty of that flower. But what we don't see is what's under the ground. The root system, which absorbs the nutrients and sends that right up to that bud, so the bud has become the flower, and the flower is the beautiful thing that it is. We see that, if you like, the fruit, but we just don't see the root. There's a hiddenness about a rose, and the same is true for the Christian. People can't see what makes us tick People can't see that we've died with Christ and risen with Christ. People can't see that we've been given a new heart. People can't see that we have the Spirit within. They can see the fruit of that. They can hear it on our lips, but they can't see it with the naked eye. That is hidden. Is it any wonder that people think we're different? And sometimes, as we rub shoulders at work or at school or at uni with those who don't share our faith, we feel we are different? It's not really a surprise, is it? Because if many of you didn't have that spiritual root system, would you be in church on a Sunday? Would you give to the offerings? When everybody else knows that if you took that money which you give week by week so faithfully, man, you could get yourself a new car. You could get yourself new furniture. You could get yourself, well, you think of it. Why would you do that? Because you know that you're walking in the footsteps of the Saviour and you're investing in the future. And you know how it is when couples plan to marry. Why would a couple choose not to live together? Why would they choose to follow God's plan for marriage and sex, etc., when they know people will look at them askance and will think they're a little bit weird? And of course they are. They are different. It's no wonder that people look at us funny. It's good for us to know that, so we can love them better. But before we leave this bit, I want us to see here something that many of us will have heard me speak of just a few weeks ago. I won't labour the point, but I can't leave it without reminding us. As we look at this hiddenness in Christ, it's talking to us about security, ultimate, eternal security. This verse, it says that our life is hidden with Christ in God. That's very hard to explain, but I think you get the picture. The point is, Christ has us in the grip of His grace. He is in God, and there is this unbreakable connection that will never be broken between us and our Saviour and our Heavenly Father. And there's something glorious about that, because we know, if that's the case, that that'll never be broken. Can death break that connection? No, it can't. And Jesus showed that by rising from the dead. But what if we've blown it? What if we've blown it badly? What about those poor people, and I know them, who are too ashamed to come back to church? How will we help them? How will we help one another? Friend, I want to say you're secure for eternity. There is no such thing as a deal breaker where Christ says, well, that's it, you've gone too far this time. That just won't happen. And that's the glory of grace. You're secure for all eternity. And I ask you, is there anything in this world that is more secure than having your life hidden with Christ in God? I don't know of anything. And that's what makes the Christian different. So we have a heavenly focus and we have a hiddenness. But now, I want us to stop for a moment. I want us to think about something. I want each of you to answer in your own heart, what's your view of the world? I speak with people, I see what's on the news, and I know for a lot of people, this world is like a car without a driver. There's no plan, there's no purpose, things just happen. That's how lots of people look at the world. Others don't. And that's especially true of the Eastern religions. Typically, and I'm generalizing here, but I think it's a fair statement, they have this view of life where it's just an endless cycle, like a bike wheel that just keeps going round and round. The same things over and over. War and peace, love and hate, birth and death. That's the cycle and we're on it. But the Christian is different. For him, life is not like a bike wheel. And life isn't just a happening. And the world isn't a car without a driver. Because the Christ who died on the cross of Calvary and who rose again and who rules in heaven now is coming back. And that means this world is going somewhere. And that's what Paul says. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This makes the Christian different because the Christian has a glorious destination. I think this is wonderful. Have a look at that word appear. You appeared in church this morning and so did I. This morning the sun appeared over the horizon and one day Jesus is going to appear. And every eye will see him, the Bible says, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And that says something about us. It says something about Christians. That we're waiting and waiting, just like a bride is waiting for her wedding day, because then the glory will come. That's the Christian, watching, waiting, getting ready. And when the bridegroom, Jesus, comes back, you'll be together and it will be glorious. Now just imagine that for a moment. We've looked at these things before, I know, but I think we need more of this stuff actually, if I'm honest. We're going to be in a glorious new world where everything that is sad and bad and sick and broken and unjust and evil, it's going to be gone. Now try to imagine that you are living in that world. Imagine the flowers. Imagine the scenery. Imagine being with Jesus, walking and talking with him. Imagine having a brand new body, just like his. Imagine being with your loved ones who have died in the Lord before you. Imagine being with all the Lord's people, this magic patchwork quilt of people from every tribe and language and nation. Life is going to be so full and so glorious when we live in a perfect world. And if you're a Christian, it's yours. It's coming. And that is saying to all of us, you have a glorious future if you have your faith in Jesus. Whatever hardship you're going through now, whatever difficulties, trauma or pain you may have or are going through, in the end, you have a future that's bursting at the seams with wholeness and joy and hope. Truly, it will be glorious. And I want to ask, dear friends, do you think of this often? Does it come through in your conversations? Are your prayers laced with the hope of the glory to come? Not as an escape from this world. God has placed us here and we have a job to do. And that's glorious. But are your prayers laced with the hope of the glory to come? Because then you will live well. And then you will die well. And we do need to take that into account. I ask this question because I can be so easily distracted. I'm due to start 3 weeks' holiday tomorrow. It's easy to focus on the holiday, the lovely home, the career you have before you. It's easy to focus on your family. And all these things are good in themselves, but they are never meant to be ultimate. God grants us these blessings to point you forward to the ultimate blessing, life with Him in a new world. And that's the Christian. He has a glorious destination. So what's your destination? That's a good question to ask, isn't it? Because as we've seen, if it's not heaven, there's only one other option. It must be hell. It can't be otherwise. And that's why faith in Jesus is so important. That we turn to Him, confess our need of Him, and receive Him as our Saviour and Lord. Because when we do that, the most amazing thing in the universe happens. We get joined to Jesus. We have died with Him, and we are raised with Him to a new life. And yes, it will make you different. Sometimes as different as a snowman on the beach. But it is a glorious life to which our Lord and Saviour calls us. And that's what Colossians 3 is talking about. We're standing on the bridge. We have this bird's eye view of the Christian life, and Christ is calling us now to follow Him. And let's be honest, may not always be easy. It may not always be fun, but it will be worth it. Christ is calling us. And today, let us put our faith in Jesus if we haven't done that already. And if we have our faith in Jesus, encourage one another with these words. Think on the words of this sermon. Chew them over through the week and lace them into your prayers and your thinking. And friends, don't grow weary. Don't lose heart. Fix your eyes on Jesus, because He's coming back and it's going to be glorious. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our God and Father, we thank You for the glorious hope of the gospel. We thank You that You are a God of undying hope and a God who renews our strengths. And today, we pray that You would help us as we leave here to soar on the wings like an eagle, to run the race of faith and not grow weary, to press on in the joy and power of Your Holy Spirit. Help us to be a people who make the gospel attractive, who shine like a bright light, who are salty and flavorsome, who are kind and gracious, who love our neighbor and our enemy. A people who are able to give a good account of the hope we have. And as we pray for one another, we want to pray for persecuted brothers and sisters in lands overseas as they struggle with the reality that faith costs, and sometimes the ultimate. Send Your angels to guide and guard us, but also all Your people. Give us the strength to resist temptation and to stand strong in the faith, in the grace of God. Give us that heavenly mindset. Remind us of the hidden life and warm our hearts with the truth that we are safe and secure for eternity. And to You, the God who is able to keep us from falling and present us before Your glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen.